All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Almost.
It's almost the 1, 2, 3. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show. Thanks. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. You can send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number at 619-438-0532. What else can you do?
Find us on MeWe soon.
On what?
What?
You heard of the MeWe? You've heard of MeWe? The new social media site?
Nope.
All right.
What is it?
It's a new social media site.
No.
It's called MeWe?
MeWe.
No.
Yeah. And its whole thing is we won't sell your data.
Yeah, right.
Essentially, like, all the problems you have.
It's.
I was laughing because if you pull it up,
yeah, right.
Where you signed into it. Yeah.
Who owns it?
Good question, which I'd like to find out.
China.
China.
I was totally going to say China.
They own TikTok.
China.
Yeah, yes, well, they do. Yeah, they have offices right there in
and
TikTok.
And they are happy they do. But
it's just mainly with the idea. I'm sorry.
Please do.
And what I like about the idea of it is just something to offer a little counterbalance to Facebook.
Sure.
So I'm all behind it. There was a time when MySpace was like, it's too big for its britches.
Yeah.
And there's no one really battling it. Now it's long dead and gone.
Do you know how
But MySpace was all nonsense. Like there's personal information on MySpace, but nowhere near to the degree that's on Facebook.
Well, then maybe like not even close. Facebook maybe needs to die.
It was mostly like sparkles and songs that you didn't really want to hear.
Yeah, and everyone's page would slow down. You couldn't load the page because there was like too many GIFs and sparkles. And all it was a comment wall. Isn't that weird?
The whole thing.
All it was like you could post a little comment.
Yeah.
And you could put
you
like your blog.
Instant message people. I remember messaging.
Yeah, you have messaging.
True that. But if you would like to support our show, not on MeWe.
Not yet.
MeWe, not MIWI, which is like a home automation product.
Right.
MeWe.
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 It's not me, it's we.
Here we go.
MeWe. It's MeWe.
Patreon.com/lifesabinge. You can become a producer like Jess Jansen, first of her name, breaker of wallets, and mother of Dagos, anti-wallet Tony.
Dagos.
Todd Lerone, Kathy Weintraub. And the couch potatoes out there like David and Mikey and BJ and Jared. And the honorary bingers as well. Patreon.com/lifesabinge. Support us today if you would like. It's not breaker of wallets. It might be breaker of wallets.
Breaker
I need to look
of bank
it up.
Accounts?
Breaker of banks. Ooh, it might be breaker of banks.
We should get it right. She does produce the show.
I know. So. She'll forgive me. She sent it in a text message a long time ago. You listened live when I had to try and find it.
You can't put it like on her name. On
I
the
know.
Thing?
I should.
Oh,
I should.
So you can.
Someone else run the something. Someone else take something.
Dude, it's totally
I can't
dude,
do everything.
Dude, that's
clearly.
That's totally coming. You know, it's got to.
It
has to.
I love your sex tape.
No, it's coming.
It has to.
No, it's coming. Colon, it has to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you could play on that so many different ways? It has to. Like there's two of them.
It's so much better
like a nice DP going on.
Whoa.
Thank you. Thank you, Brooklyn 99, for this marvelous phrase.
I don't know what is it? Like
Tyler,
obviously it's, right, but I don't know the meme or whatever.
It comes from Brooklyn 99, and Jake says it whenever somebody says something dirty instead of that's what she said.
I see.
It just works so much better.
It works good.
It works so much better.
I don't think it works better.
I think it does.
I think it works
well. Title of your sex tape. Use it for almost anything.
Right. But SoCal—that's what she said. You know, that was in the same way,
right?
In the same vein.
It just took.
They're
over.
Similar. They're just a little different.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, everyone out there, you know what to do, and if you don't, take a big old breath right now.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow.
Right.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
When do you think that commercial's coming back?
Never.
I don't know. The
it seems like I saw a reference to it recently.
The 90s are really? Resurging all around us.
Yeah. What was that reference I just saw to it?
Was it Life's a Binge?
No, it was it was Letterkenny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Letterkenny did a thing on it.
How do you gang?
What's up?
Look at the phone.
I'm
bad. What's up?
With
that. That's the last one.
That commercial was That commercial was awesome. Mikey P, your sweater is awesome. I'd just like to point out. It says Ho Ho Hodor. And it's like a, you know, ugly Christmas sweater type thing. What's up?
Except
Thanksgiving is what's up. We're recording this the day before Thanksgiving, but and you're listening to this after Thanksgiving
Happy
has happened.
Happy Thanksgiving.
But Thanksgiving is what's up.
I hope you ate food.
You got your plans ready?
Yep. Going to my in-laws in the morning and then to my brother's in the evening. It's pretty much the same thing we do every year. And, yeah, I love Thanksgiving. Everyone's like, you overshadow Thanksgiving. You go from Halloween to Christmas. And I'm like, well, there's not... Again, you don't decorate for Thanksgiving. I don't, anyway. Mm-hmm. Most you can put up some fall decorations.
Yeah,
I'm behind the curb. Is it behind the curb? Behind the curve.
Curve.
Behind the curve.
Right.
On putting
That's
up my
assumption.
Christmas decorations.
Curve.
Yeah. For all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Intensive purposes.
I tried to say it wrong, and I almost couldn't.
I know, you couldn't do it. Yeah, I'm just behind on putting up the Christmas decorations. But that's coming soon.
I see your neighbor across the street.
I know, they were the first ones, those bastards.
Yeah, I bet you they put them up in like, what?
Hollier, jollier Christmas.
It's true.
He'll have his up tomorrow at 6 p.m.
We were the first ones with Halloween. And we were the last to take down Halloween.
So they threw up their Christmas.
Our Halloween decorations.
They threw up their address. Like 218.
They put up their Christmas while I was in the front yard taking down Halloween. I was like, you're better than me. But, I mean, you know, they got a couple lights up, but it's nothing. Nice. It's nothing to write home about.
It's like they changed the one filter on that one light effect that used to shoot the ghosts for Halloween and not shoot
red and green.
Yeah, it shoots something else.
Is it really?
I don't know.
I just remember they had the ghosts shoot, and then they had this. I could see it being
the
same thing.
That's
it would be kind of cool.
See, when you get the actual color-changing LEDs that are inexpensive, and then you can just be like, boom, orange. Look at my house. It's Halloween. Boom, red and green. Now it's Christmas, and I didn't have to change shit. Oh, it's coming. Can't
Those little projecting lasers are cool, too, because they cover up, like, so much of the house.
Yeah.
And they rotate.
Such
I love
cheater.
It. Because we have one.
I love them, too.
That reminded me. I saw it today because all the Black Friday deals are filling your inbox, I'm sure. Right as we speak, there's, like, 20 more of them in mine, probably.
Yes.
And there's one for this, like, LED photo lighting kit, which is awesome. Like, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, trying to downplay it. But it's like, oh, $2,000 off. I'm like, holy shit, $2,000 off? Yeah, now it's only $6,999.99 as opposed to $8,009.
This
like,
is the
oh my God.
Digital light projector?
No, it's like a flat panel LED that rolls up. So it's like you can like shape it, you can do different things with it, but
really?
It's like really like nice quality light, and it's like bicolor too, so it changes color, does all this cool stuff, and I'm like, that would be nice, but...
I can't tell you what I wanted to do for $6,000.
Right?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But...
But it's on sale,
bro. It is a good sale.
I'd be saving $2,000.
How can I say no, then?
It is a good deal. I love that. All right, I'm going to hate that. When it's like, ooh, $300 off. That's awesome. Oh, wait, now it's only $700 instead of $1,000. But... Still, $300 off.
Hey,
it only works if it's something 30%. That you were going to get anyway. Exactly. Like the next camera body that I want to get is like $700 off right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh. Like I wasn't really ready to buy it, but $700 off. Like,
how can I say no?
You got to get that deal.
It's like it buys itself.
I got to pay for a wedding.
Have you seen all the people like don't go to shopping or whatever? Like, there's big protests. People are mounting protests.
Oh, for Thanksgiving
or
Black Friday?
I have heard that, yeah.
Because Black Friday is now on Thanksgiving. basically, where it's like stores are open at 8
they're p.m. open, yeah, and, yeah.
And like people have that. Right. Yeah. People have to go to work on Thanksgiving and like people hate it. So like, don't go shopping.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will not be participating.
Now, what about stores that are open 24/7? Do you think that that's still a problem? Like Walmart's always open 24/7.
They have a holiday fucking sometime, damn.
But they're not.
Well,
so it's like
that's boo boo.
Well, I think they rotated. I mean, working at a place where it's open every day.
I had to rotate.
You kind of rotate them in and out. Sometimes you miss it. Sometimes you don't.
But somebody's out of luck.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody will not be at home with their family for the holiday.
And do you
that
think,
sucks. I don't like
and
it.
And do you think you by you personally, one person protesting, do you think it makes their day better?
No, but it makes me feel good.
Yeah, okay. I'm just curious. Like,
that's how I feel about it all.
I've gone Black Friday shopping one time, and that was when I had to get to the store at 5 a.m. on Friday because we had to get whatever the thing was we had to get. I don't remember it, but it's the only time I ever went. But it was when it was still Black Friday, not... Oh, you just ate Thanksgiving at noon? Come to Macy's.
No, that's pretty good. Like, my ex's family used to make a big deal about it. Like, we'd wake up super early.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, when I was in my mid-20s. Right. We'd wake up really early and we'd go, like, Friday morning, which is not...
You go to GameStop and you get the new
bad.
Game.
Yeah.
Or what, you
like,
know.
I did that when I got, like, Halo or something, like, early in the morning. And I'm like, ah, sorry, that's okay. But the day of is right out. Like, absolutely not.
I'm never committed enough. There's always somebody who's more committed than me.
But they still call it Black Friday.
And also,
and
here we go.
Thanksgiving Day.
I also feel like they are, like it reminds me of a fear factor that you're going to be on TV, but in order to be on TV and maybe win money, you're going to have to eat a bug in front of everybody. It's like, what are you willing to do this? So, are you willing to
how
come here?
Is this
come
deal?
Here at 4 in the morning?
Right.
You know?
Or like, you camp out for 3 days to save
$500.
It's like, how much money would you have made at your job in those 3 days?
Yeah.
If you
they'll do anything. I don't know. Part of it's like,
come the fuck on.
I feel like...
I never get that excited.
We were harping about Amazon last episode, but I feel like Amazon could put an end to Black Friday by having... I mean, they have Cyber Monday, which is the Monday after Thanksgiving, but... Like, Walmart's like, ooh, look, a TV, it's only $100. We only have 100 of them. You better get in line. And it's like, that's nice, but how come Amazon just doesn't go, you know what, Walmart, we'll sell those unlimited for $100 on Monday, so
they
don't
could.
Even bother.
They probably will.
It's F your face, Walmart.
Because then they would get all the sales instead of some of them, and they would prevent the Black Friday bullshit. Then you're kowtowing the fucking Amazon.
Right.
Well, Amazon is Walmarting Walmart.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing, but not that it's right. Not that I'm down for it, you know.
That's why I'm all about Small Business Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out in the neighborhood on Saturday. I'm going to spend some cash.
Word.
Name of your sex tape. Boom, boom.
That's a good one. I told you.
I'm never going to use it. I'm still locked in. That's what she said. Yeah. Hardcore.
Love it.
Is there anything else in What's Up, or is it just Thanksgiving?
It's
10
degrees colder.
Yes.
This Thanksgiving
flash wetter.
That happened. Tony and his family are in Japan. They're in Japan as we speak.
Yep.
Right.
And so so it's just we normally do the bouncing two locations on Thanksgiving as well. But this year.
Oh, so you're going to Japan tomorrow?
Yes. So, we're in Japan.
Cool.
And
that's right.
It's not Thanksgiving until tomorrow there.
Because when you get there, you'll be over. Like, it won't be
just kidding. It's actually already it's already Thanksgiving there. It is Thanksgiving there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. They're ahead.
Yep.
But Friday night, last Friday night was Anthony's, I'm saying this Friday, is his playoff game.
Yes.
And if he wins.
Playoffs.
Hopefully they'll win. And if they win, they go to
the
Rice Bowl.
Ooh, that's what it's called?
The Rice Bowl.
That seems
weird.
Stereotypical.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's in Japan.
I mean, yeah.
So it's like, that's what you want to call it.
They do like the rice is in a lot of the dishes. So.
It happens in the Tokyo Dome, which is cool. So
that's cool.
So they get it. Apparently, if they win, it's a big crowd.
Somewhere in America, someone is offended that the Japanese call that championship the Rice Bowl.
Right.
Hey, it's their,
that's
their
bowl.
Thing.
Exactly.
It's their bowl, man.
They can put rice in it if they want.
Yep.
I had rice bowl for lunch today, man. It's just delicious.
I'm pro rice bowl.
Rice and black beans, man.
Yep. I'm curious as to how many NFL coaches and teams this year are going like, damn, we should have called Anthony Lawrence. Like, you got the Mason Rudolphs out there and the fucking no-name Joe Schmoes that are playing quarterbacks for the fucking shithole team.
So bad.
Ryan Finley for the Cincinnati Bengals, and you're like, dude.
They're past Mason Rudolph now. Some other dude.
Yeah, some other new guy.
This week.
Yeah. But, like, Cincinnati's like, Andy Dalton, you're not the future anymore. Haha, our new future, Ryan Finley. And they're like, wait, we were wrong. Garbage.
Back
it's,
to
like,
Andy.
It's like, there's Anthony out there.
He's San Diego State. Ryan Lindley. Yeah.
Ryan Finley?
I think it's Lindley.
Lindley?
No, there's a guy, Ryan Finley, who is the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, who just got benched so they could put Andy Dalton back in this week.
The Red Rockets back in the game.
I thought it was Lindley, and I thought it was a dude who went to San Diego State.
Maybe that's a different dude.
Maybe.
But Anthony should be playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. Or
but in the meantime,
all I know is 31 teams passed on Lamar Jackson, and now they are pissed.
Was he not first round? Wasn't he?
He went in the first round, but super late in the first round.
Real late. Yeah.
Because the Ravens had three picks. Why do I know this? The Ravens had three picks in that draft, and they told him they were going to draft him in the first round, but they didn't tell him which pick it was.
Right.
So, like, two Ravens picks go by, and he's not picked yet. So he's like, there's this, like, famous picture of him with his mom, like, at the draft, looking like all, like, he's dressed up. He looks all sad. And now he's just destroying everybody.
And now he's the league
MVP. Yeah. Yes. Did he come out the same year as Mahomes?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't very good. He wasn't the starter. It was Joe Flacco for half the
Mahomes,
year.
Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. I'm pretty sure all the
and
same
And Trubisky.
Because Trubisky, yes, because the Bears reached for Trubisky and passed up
and
those
did not
three.
Pick.
Poor Trubisky. They're so bad
better.
This year. They're supposed to have their first pick because they suck so hard, but guess who gets their pick? The Raiders.
The Raiders.
The Raiders get their first pick.
Man.
They're going to have the first overall because the fucking Bears suck so hard.
They won't have the first overall. No, the Bears are...
If that's what the Bears...
You know what else we have right now? The Bears don't have a winning record. You know what else we have? More sacks. Who won the Mac trade now, bitches?
And you get the first round pick.
That's
crazy.
So Tony Tasty. Came up... You know we went to the Bear game 2 weeks ago.
I believe it was the Ram game.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, that's it. It's probably 50-50.
But,
now, what was the fan distribution for that game?
It was probably about 50-50.
Yeah.
Really?
And I think most
that's what I figured.
Most of their games are. I think most of the Rams games and definitely the Charger games are
75-30. 75-25.
Unless it's the Raider game, then it's 100-0.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's
like 90,
it was 10. Fun. But my brother's new name for Mitch Trubisky, Bitch Too Risky.
It's true. That's a good name.
So, I like it. Good stuff.
Cool. I'm going to push this button.
That's what's up.
This just in. With Rich Sublang.
That's a fun segue into a piece of news that I wasn't going to do, but you just reminded me of. The NFL is upset at the Oakland Raiders for siphoning off fans from the Rams and the Chargers.
Stupid NFL.
NFL is stupid.
And I'm like, any casual, almost the most casual of football fans could have told you that when it comes to the NFL, at least, that is a Raiders town first.
Yeah.
Everyone knows this.
Well, and not only that, but like, if they're in that town and they're like, you know what, I don't really like football, but you know what hat looks the coolest? This black one.
That's right.
I'm a Raider fan.
Silver and black.
So it's like the color scheme, the logo.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're picking randomly, that's
right.
I don't know. I always like, that's one of the reasons I became a Charger fan before I moved to San Diego.
The blue and gold and the bolt and everything.
The lightning bolt.
Only if it's powder blue.
Lightning bolt.
The lightning bolt dark is blue. Pretty bitchin'.
The powder blues are tight.
Yeah.
I do like the powder blue. I like them both.
Yeah.
Like blue and gold, like power gold.
But that's stupid.
It's
like,
so
of course
stupid.
They're going to like that team. And like,
don't be ridiculous.
They've been there. Yeah, anyway. And stuff.
They actually have history there. Like, not that the Rams don't, but.
I'm just curious to see how the Raiders fans will travel.
I think very well. To Vegas?
Yeah, but you think...
It won't be the same as, like,
because, like, the black hole is not going to be...
It won't be the same as a home Oakland
game.
It won't be the same.
And so I'm just curious to see what it's like.
It won't be the same. But the Vegas is already embracing.
Yeah.
Like, I was just there a couple weeks ago, and there's Raiders stuff everywhere already. Like, And I mean, I don't mean like, you know, by the stadium, but I mean
right, everywhere.
Random ass liquor stores 5 miles away have like Raiders gear and like Raiders.
Gotta make that money.
Like, all right, man. Let's
bring it in.
Do what you gonna do.
Chucky dolls. And...
I will definitely be going to a game there.
Yeah.
100%.
Most people will.
Absolutely.
They're like, yeah, my team's playing on the West Coast this time. We're Chicago, or let's go see the Chicago Bears play right. the Raiders in Vegas. Right. Yeah.
And you know what else? The LA fans are going to travel to Vegas to go see games because it's close.
Yeah, it's
and
only
it's
a
Vegas.
Few hours away.
Vegas, baby.
It's yep. a 40-minute flight if you're going to fly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just in time to get up in the air, have a drink.
Yeah.
And get started.
And then watch a football game.
I wonder if the stadium's going to have a sports book in the stadium.
I don't think they can.
They can't do that, right?
They can have one right outside.
But the possibilities.
But I don't think that's what I'm like. Can, that's right? why I'm like, how does that work?
Can I play blackjack on the 50-yard line?
I'm telling you, man. Gambling.
You're gonna have a little iPad with a slot machine at your seat.
Wow.
Gambling and pro sports just shouldn't be in the same town. Like, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in Vegas, is, like,
yeah.
it's the shadiness that's been, like, it's crazy.
Oh, the mob doesn't run gambling anymore. Oh, really?
The NFL does.
Who does, yeah.
The mob has moved on to professional sports, right? The mob is in all the big leagues now.
Yeah, it's funny.
NHL, NFL, NBA.
What else you got?
Anywho, did we know, did any of us know, because apparently this is old news, that there was a Rise of Skywalker script available for purchase on eBay?
I heard a headline today that Disney bought a lost actor script on eBay.
Can you name that? Let's everyone take one guess. Name that actor. I know who it is, so I can't play.
Oscar Isaac.
No.
Dang.
The girl, Daphne.
Daisy Ridley.
The girl.
Daisy Ridley.
Nope. Mikey.
Gwyneth.
Lando Calrissian.
John Boyega lost his Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker script.
Lost or somebody stole it?
He says lost.
Right. Well, somebody had taken it.
But if you were saying it, wouldn't you say I lost it versus somebody stole it? Or would you say, no, if you're trying to make something up, you'd say somebody stole it, not I lost it. I don't know. How do you lose?
I don't know.
How do you lose a script?
Yeah, but I heard Disney actually found the
that's amazing
the listing and bought it back.
Because
took it
money's
out of
not his, important to Disney.
Took it out of his salary.
Right.
You're getting paid.
Yeah, that probably cost him more like $100,000 or something. Right. Like, whatever.
Take no it out of my deal. Cut of the opening weekend.
Speaking of Disney, those of you, or maybe not the first time, but those of you who have watched Avengers Endgame on Disney Plus were afforded a special treat that was not in the theatrical release.
Interesting.
A bonus scene.
I have yet to watch it.
A bonus scene in the streaming version of Avengers Endgame added in right after Tony does his spoiler alert snap.
Yeah.
Much like in the in Infinity War when Thanos snaps and he has a vision of young Gamora, Tony has a vision of his own.
Really? Snaps.
I won't ruin. I could tell you what it is right now, but I won't do that.
Tell me.
Tell you after. Tell you now.
Right now.
Tell me now. I want to know.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Just watch it on Disney Plus. What happens?
He sees Morgan Stark all grown up, and they have a little conversation.
Aww. So it's very, very similar to Thanos's.
Yeah.
Where Thanos sees his quote-unquote daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it has any tie-ins
They made no announcement. They're just like, here we go. People won't.
Maybe Tony Stark is genetically linked to Thanos and somehow.
Well, I just wonder if it has anything to do with Iron. Nope. Nope. Iron Lad's a different person. And it's a boy.
Yeah, he's a dude.
So, never mind.
I like that. I like that thought process, though.
Yeah.
That's good. We're going to get an Invisible Woman movie in the Universal horror universe.
Never saw it.
Is that still happening? Or are they just making movies now? Like, it's not supposed to be a thing.
Anyway. Charlie's Angels director Elizabeth Banks will both direct and star in The Invisible Woman.
As a Marvel property?
No. Universal.
So it's not the Invisible Woman from...
No. You're thinking Fantastic Four.
Right, it's not that.
We're talking not The Invisible Man
right.
from the Monsters universe, but they're making it an Invisible Woman.
Okay, but not universe. Not Marvel?
No.
Okay.
No. Though she is blonde.
Yes.
Charlie's Angels failed pretty hardcore.
I heard it was very good, though.
But really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard.
I saw it.
Was it good?
Oh, here we go.
I enjoyed
it.
It.
Yeah. Did you hate it?
Didn't hate it.
I heard Kristen Stewart steals the show.
Not for me. Huh. She was good, but not like
is
I.
Is it Naomi Scott?
She's fine.
Oh,
I made the Shia LaBeouf face.
Oh, I was.
Except anything else.
That was good.
She's super hot.
Yes,
and she can sing. Even though her song was
Good. It was fun. It was good, but I you know.
She played Jasmine in live action Aladdin.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, she's fine.
And yes.
Yep.
And she's very attractive in this film as well.
Mikey, you're such a gentleman.
I just remember the Aladdin previews. I remember like, what the, who the, what the,
what the, what? And finally, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, no.
But I hate that it is. This is what I found while we were preparing.
Oh, no.
What was the most, if you had to think of the most hated cameo appearance in recent times?
Ed Sheeran, Game of Thrones.
Guess what he's going to be in next?
Oh no, for real?
Oh shit!
Star Wars Episode 9: Rise of Skywalker will have an Ed Sheeran cameo in it.
Now, are these the
I'm going Game home.
Of,
bye, guys.
Are these the Game of Thrones people doing the Star Wars?
No. It's J.J. Abrams.
I can't believe you got that, though, because I was totally going Dumbo with what's his name?
Because of his face? I just don't. I don't like him. I don't like his music. I don't like his face.
Stay out of my movies and TV.
If he sings in this, I will fucking riot.
Are you not in love with his body?
No, I'm not. That song is creepy as hell.
Now my bedsheets smell like you.
There's a person in that body, you know.
I didn't hate the Game of Thrones one.
I hated it.
That it was like, yeah, it took you out of the.
I barely noticed it.
It was just like he's a soldier and blah, blah, blah. All right, whatever. But then he has to sing, and then it's a new one.
It's a new one.
Fuck off. Punchable face bastard.
I didn't care. I was like, whatever. God. It's fine. It fit the story at the time.
I was not a fan.
I was like, whatever.
Yeah. Not a fan.
But yeah, people hated it. So I knew the answer.
Interesting that they would do that now. Yeah. Right? Can you think of any other cameo as widely hated as that?
Maybe it's almost like a hatred for the critics, the internet critics. Who like said, yo, yeah, you hate that?
Guess what?
Check this out. We're gonna do it again in your beloved Star Wars.
It might be.
Here's what's gonna happen.
I could see it. Maybe.
He's gonna show up in some battle. He's gonna be on screen for half a second, and then he's gonna get blasted to smithereens.
It's a new
yeah.
And then they will have pleased all the internet trolls that hated the cameo so hard last time.
I'd be down for that.
It's a new one.
He's gonna be in so
I'm
much
in love
makeup.
With the Jedi. Shut your stupid fucking mouth.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, I mean, he's fine. You know, if you like what you like, whatever. No, I hate him.
Really? All of a sudden?
Really? I just don't.
The first album is so good.
I don't think so.
I've liked a couple of his songs.
I really like that first album.
For sure. But I just hated his appearance on the Game of Thrones. Yeah.
And that's the way it was.
Twas.
Diving right ahead, we have.
I thought you were going to say Die Hard.
We have. We have this.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Well, hello again, everyone. My name is Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Well, it's the holidays, and I figured what better way to ring in this time of year than with something nice and racially charged. So I've decided to cover Song of the South. So let's fire up that old-timey VHS player of the past. Disney Plus is well in full swing, and they love toting the fact that everything is released. Well, everything except that one movie, wink wink. But should it remain in the vault never to see the light of day again? Well, in my opinion, no. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's not a problematic movie. I'll go over its foibles, but I'll also try to pull out some little gems in the process. And also, is locking up a problematic movie really the answer, or can it be used as a cautionary tale? I think it can be, And I'm not the only one. Whoopi Goldberg made an announcement at D23 a while back that she wanted to start the conversation of bringing back Song of the South to talk about what it was, where it came from, and why it came out. Well, that's a great idea, Whoopi. Let's start with its beginnings. The beginnings of Song of the South come to us through Joel Chandler Harris. Joel Chandler Harris, in his younger years, got a job on a plantation as a typist and was told the stories of Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Bear by an old black man called Uncle George. In his adult life, Joel Chandler Harris worked for a publication called the Atlanta Constitutionalist, where he spent his time advocating for racial reconciliation in the post-Civil War South. Part of this was syndicating the stories of Uncle George, which he renamed Uncle Remus, and published Uncle Remus and His Songs and Sayings in 1880, which was a huge hit. Years later, Walt Disney comes into the picture. He was such a big fan of Harris's publications that he spoke to the Harris family and got permission to put out an Uncle Remus comic strip followed by a feature film. Now, I know there's a lot of Disney files out there. I'm one of them. And as gaga as I am to see that Imagineering show on Disney Plus, you all have to admit, no matter what you think of the Disney company then or now, Walt Disney was not good at portraying groups outside of his own race nor ethnicity. It's kind of like saying, hey, we need more representation in the sci-fi fantasy genre. Hey, George Lucas, you're working on Phantom Menace. You can handle that tactfully, right? Yeah. Well, don't believe me? Here's how Walt Disney handled race just 5 years prior to Song of the South with Dumbo.
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I seen a horse fly.
Oh, I seen a dragon fly.
I seen a house fly.
See, I seen all that too. I seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I seen a needle that winked its eye. But I be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant fly.
Not a good look. Also, here's a little number from Lady and the Tramp just about 9 years after Song of the South.
We are Siamese, if you please.
Right. Totally forgot.
We are Siamese, if you don't please. Now we're looking over our new domicile. If we like, we stay for maybe quite a while.
Yeah, Walt Disney approved both of those. So let's get to the actual movie. Song of the South takes place in the post-Civil War Reconstruction era after the abolishment of slavery. We see Johnny, his mom, and dad, and Nanny on their way to Johnny's grandmother's plantation. And Johnny is asking all sorts of exposition questions like, why are we going to a plantation? Mom and Dad, are you mad at each other? For good reason, his parents are glaring at each other. Odd for the beginning of a Disney movie. Johnny asks if it's because people are mad about what his dad is writing in the paper. Not too much later, Johnny's dad leaves against he and his mother's wishes and talks about work that has to be done. I feel like this points to Chandler's own work as an advocate for racial reconciliation in the South. Yeah, people in the South probably don't like what he's printing in the papers, but work still has to be done to clean things up and build the quote-unquote New South. Upset by his father's leaving, Johnny tries to run away until he runs into Uncle Remus, who tells Johnny different stories of Br'er Rabbit. The stories were three cartoon vignettes called Running Away, The Tar Baby, that didn't feel good to say, and Jesus The Laughing Christ. Place. All three of these stories are featured in Splash Mountain at Disneyland. Actually, when the ride first opened, they did have the tar version, but later changed it to Br'er Rabbit getting stuck in honey. I'll get more into Splash Mountain in a little bit. Anyway, in the movie, the cartoons have a very Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes vibe to them. Very violent, and the live-action parts are pretty much a frame to tell the cartoon story. Now, granted that this was 1946 when these movies came out, I do feel like this movie did some things right. First of which was James Baskett cast as Uncle Remus, which means Disney's first live-action lead was a black man, which is really cool. Also, the film is pro-inclusivity and integration, which I feel is a big thing in 1946. And also, Disney has all black actors doing voices of the cartoons, which is a huge leap from just 5 years before when they released Dumbo that featured the infamous Crows, including the leader Jim Crow, voiced by Cliff Edwards, who is the whitest guy in the world. By the way, no joke, I recently looked up IMDb to find the original Dumbo cast list, and it had his name next to his character Jim Crow. Just now looking at it, he's nowhere on the cast list, nor is his character. I Wikipedia'd it to find his name, and it said that Jim Crow was changed to Dandy Crow. Dude, Disney is trying to legit scrub their past racism. Which brings me to my point now. Should we lock Song of the South away? I agree, it has its problems. I get wanting to share stories of a whole race of people in regards to representation. However, portraying people on a plantation as having fun and singing all day is pretty tone deaf. They kind of glossed over the hardship of the people of whom they're trying to tell the stories of. Black people are portrayed in a southern stereotypical southern dialect, but it doesn't look like they're portrayed as being a punchline like in Dumbo or, say, Asians in Lady and the Tramp. And they are still promoting both of those movies today. In those movies, various races and ethnicities, but Song of the South, it seems like the right idea was there. It was just done in a really clunky way. So the heart was there, but the execution wasn't the best. So is Disney really ready to be done with Song of the South forever? Absolutely not! And this is the weirdest part of the banishment of the movie. Disney still embraces Song of the South in some form, the biggest of course being Splash Mountain. That's right folks, there's a full-on Song of the South ride. No Aladdin ride yet, but yeah, Song of the South the ride. Sure, it has some of the characters from America Sings in there, but the story, songs, and characters are all from Song of the South. So to me, it's weird to cast off Song of the South, but at the same time embrace Splash Mountain. At least know your source material. But it's plain to see that on this one, money talks. It's a popular ride, and Disney isn't ready to be completely done with it. Oh, that and Disney still distributes Song of the South outside the U.S. But even if Disney banned it outside of the U.S. as well, why would Disney keep certain movies around like Dumbo that contain characters of racial groups made to be nothing more than a punchline? All that to say, even though there's problems with the movie, I believe Song of the South came from a sincere place. From when it was first published by Joel Chandler Harris, wanting to inspire change in a nation that desperately needed it, to Walt Disney, who wanted to share these stories in a bigger arena. It could have been handled way better. But in Song of the South, I don't see anyone as a punchline. Unlike in movies like Dumbo or Lady and the Tramp, where the idea was just to have a laugh at a group of people. But that's just my opinion. I'd say, watch this the way Disney prefers you to, riding it at your local Disney park. Or outside the U.S. Because what do I know? Until next time, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
Dude. Fucking bravo, Matt. That was fucking money. That was really good.
That was insightful.
That was really well done. Mm-hmm.
So I have never seen this film.
Okay. Mm.
Rich?
It's been a very long time.
BJ?
I saw it as a child.
And?
And I saw it today.
Okay.
Saw it this afternoon.
Do you want to talk about that and what you watched? Or do you want to share some thoughts right now?
No, I think it'd be good to go over now about it.
Sure.
Just because it's... good topic in and of itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was especially having just watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's job is excellent. Like that's one of his best ones, in my opinion. Having a little bit of still glowing from it just happened.
But, well, and I like that he added a little bit of research in there.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first time he's some research.
He's done that. I think,
I know,
for some other
stuff. Like,
yeah. He's
yeah.
Not like that, though.
But that was good. Very super insightful and super just very aware and insightful insights. Matt, well done, man. You made me very happy just now. The movie made me really happy too, like in a weird way. And like a lot of these things, like I've talked before about Disney Plus, and I almost kind of just looped this into Disney Plus, even though I watched it on archive.com or something.
Sure.
that Mikey P hooked us up with.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely took me to my childhood. And there was some stuff and images from this that I had no idea that probably would have just withered up in my memory and gone away forever.
Sure.
If it hadn't been rekindled a little bit. And I remember, like, it was an experience watching this, because there are some images in it that just spoke to me, because I remember there's sort of the hero, like the kid, the little kid. Uncle Remus is kind of the hero, but there's the little kid. Have you seen it recently, Mikey?
Oh, I watched it today, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
shit.
That little kid.
I'm left out. I
that little kid, the main little white kid.
Johnny.
Is the hero. Johnny, yeah. And when I saw it, I was very young, like probably about his age, like about 7 or 8 or so, you know, or maybe even younger. And so there are things that happen in the movie, like the two mean brothers who live down the street. And most of this movie is not animated. Most of this movie is live action.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. In a very classic Disney style, like that Buena Vista color, yep. that mm-hmm. everything kind of pops under, like it's definitely has that look. And there are some things in it that are great, like good, really good stuff, really well done things. And just every so often, the whole Tar Baby scene, like I'm doing the dishes tonight, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then I went, had to go back and like rewind it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so Brer Fox, who's always trying to catch Brer Rabbit, comes up with a plan to make this Tar Baby, which is a totally racist term that's not used today.
No. Nope.
Mm-hmm. But it used to be in the past.
Yep.
And a little black kid called Tar Baby.
Correct.
Yeah. So he's going to make a Tar Baby. So I even say in this,
like,
is so weird.
Distract.
To like, yes.
I was trying to remember.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. He's always trying to trap the Brer Rabbit.
Yeah.
And
what was the, because he said there was like the three cartoon vignettes that were like,
right,
teaching morals or something.
Yeah.
So what's the moral of that one?
It was like, don't get your nose into something that you're not sure of, type of thing. And at first they're telling the story, right? And so they make this baby out of
sure.
and Brer Robert comes dropping by, and he says hiya to the Tar Baby. Sorry, that's how they say it. They say it every time in the thing. To the little black kid that he thinks, and he says, hey, but he doesn't say anything back. So he freaks out and he bounces back and he says, hey, but he still doesn't say anything. So he's getting mad. So he's getting in his face, and he's like, now listen, you better say hi to me next time I hop by and say hi. Otherwise I'm going to sock you in the jaw. And he doesn't, and he hits him, but he gets caught up in the tar, and he hits him with the other, and he gets all caught up, and the rat and the fox gets him. And because he couldn't leave the Tar Baby alone.
So, so
no, and now what the mind, what you, like mind. As far as like what's the moral of it?
No, it's like
in
were
in
they
case.
Was okay. So I know the term, and
okay.
Was it a were they was it did they use that term for that reason, or did they use it because he made, I mean, you know what I'm trying, like, he
I
made
think,
a baby out of tar,
right,
so the rabbit would stick to it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what, so using the term Tar Baby.
Right. Now that's
like,
it.
Why was, why, is
I'm
it
pretty
just
sure
because
that
it was common knowledge or common term
I
at the time?
I think so.
Or was it meant to be like,
or did it come from this?
Racist.
Like, also, Monk, did the term come from this?
I mean, how could you not know? Like, even if you might not mean it that way, but what are people going to hear?
Right.
Or what are they going to think when
right,
they hear
but
that?
Then why? It's just,
no,
why
I just think
it,
it's one of those things
a,
that
in
like,
a movie that, from what I have heard from Matt and what you praised him for, is that it does handle the idea of inclusion and stuff well, so to throw a racial slur in the mix of it.
I don't think it was at that time. Like, I don't think it was, like, I don't think it was as recognized. Mm. Like, they were just
as a bad term?
Yes. They were obviously considerably less woke at that time.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was just one of those things that kind of, I mean, just like all those things that slipped through the cracks pre-Me Too, all of a sudden you are aware of it. I think it was one of those things that no one was really quite aware of it. I thought it was harmless for the most part. This is what you say. It's a little black baby. It's a little tar baby. That's what you call it. You know, I'm assuming anyway.
Right, right.
And
Well, just looking at, on Wikipedia. Apparently,
search history real quick.
Yeah, I know exactly.
You're on a list now.
So Tar Baby was the second story of Uncle Remus's stories,
right,
published in 1881 about a doll made of tar and turpentine used by the villainous, Fox. So, yeah, so it sounds like they were just trying to stay maybe true to the original.
So it's originally from, which was from the 1800s.
Yeah.
So, woof. But people even still, probably in 1940, they probably still were clearly not very.
I got problems. I got problems with this, man. Got some problems. Why does he got to be called Uncle Remus? Why not just keep it Uncle George? Uncle George not sound black enough?
Good question. I don't know. Maybe they're like.
Yes. That would be my assumption.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, it's to sound blacker, for
right.
sure.
Yeah.
Which, Remus.
Which
you
we
know,
still have that problem today. Like, that's still a problem in 2019.
I don't know how much, Remus and Romulus, like, it was supposed to be like an idea of some classic connection to stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm sure Uncle Remus sounds. They're selling a book.
Right.
About your black uncle telling stories.
Right.
Yes.
Uncle Remus sells better than Uncle George.
Yeah. Yes.
So. Yeah. And really, it's just that and the overarching sense of
everything's great.
Black folks singing a song on a plantation. Like,
right.
No. Like, just no. Just don't.
Well,
just don't.
Yeah.
No.
It's, yeah.
No, no,
there's
no.
There's plenty
no, no,
to,
no.
like. So what do you think? You think it should be outlawed?
No. Absolutely not. I think everyone should watch it and see this. They made this in earnest and thought this was okay, and they're super wrong about that. I'll expand upon that and say that it's one of the earliest examples of someone trying to tell someone else's story, right? And really missing the mark,
right?
I think.
Which is that
like
is that Hollywood or America? You know,
it's America. For sure. Like, if I wanted to do Malcolm X, I'm not hiring, Christopher Nolan. He's a great filmmaker, but I think there's a little bit of insight there that he'll probably lack in doing something like that. That's why he gets Spike Lee.
There's a bit of the soul of the whole experience.
The heart of it.
And the
attachment to having a bit of that experience in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the people tend to make better, like, Martin Scorsese makes great movies about Italians and Irishmen because that's the world that he grew up in. That's the world that he knows.
That's out right now.
Is that out on?
It came out today.
On Netflix?
On Netflix.
Oh. Irishman came out today. Yeah.
They had it
3 hours and 40 minutes long, I think.
They had it at the Landmark, too. I wonder if they pulled it.
Something
from
very, very long.
I'm sure they wanted to get its Oscar.
I'm not saying that people should never do that. Like, you should never. But now, especially, like, you need to be reaching into group of people to get input before you do things like that, right?
So, mm-hmm.
I think we all kind of recognize that now. And I'm certain it wasn't done that way
in
1946.
But actually, you wonder because they, I don't know.
So getting the all-black cast and everyone involved, do you think that they were doing it through gritted teeth? Like, well,
not an all-black cast, but at least...
Well,
like,
right. But the first leading male in a movie.
I don't know.
Right. Live-action Disney movie.
I
is pretty
I bet
deal.
You they were thinking, like, we're pretty woke. Like, they were probably thinking that.
Not the film,
that
but
time.
Do you think, like, the guy playing Uncle Remus was like, I can't believe I'm doing this? Or do you think he was like, yeah, I got a job? Or do you think he's like, I'm going to tell this story the best of my ability? And I think they're doing a pretty good job of what they have.
B and C, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably B and C. Because,
Because, again, 1947, like, watching it with 2019 eyes, obviously you're like, what the fuck is this nonsense?
Yeah.
But, like, in 1947, it has to have been, like, eye-opening to, like, some people to be like,
probably.
Oh shit, dude! Like we
were
wrong.
What I did notice, and it struck me, because at first when it starts, and they're in the carriage with the mother and the father and the kid, and then the auntie who's the black, Nanny.
What's her name?
Maid or whatever.
Good question. Yeah. I can't remember. She has a name.
Nanny. Mammy.
But there's a scene. There's a scene where she's singing a song in the kitchen, and Uncle Remus kind of walks in and kind of like listens, and it's very humanizing and like. Normalizing in a way that wasn't one-dimensional caricature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That I found like, oh, you know what? This is actually pretty refreshing, especially because I'm watching Song of the South. I want to be offended. You know, that's like what I'm looking for.
Right.
Sure.
And there's enough there. There's a whole Tar Baby scene that's like, you know, that there's you know, and then it's just post-slavery. And one of the little white kid and the white kid, black kid. Who become friends, and the black kid gets tasked with watching over the white kid while he's on the property, they pretend they're gonna go run, and they have a frog, so they catch these frogs, mm-hmm. right? And so, and I don't know if you picked this up, Mikey P, but they're talking about the frog, and then the little black kid decides he wants to set the frog free. He's like, "Man, I just can't imagine not being able to see your folks and being able to do your thing. Let's go set this frog free." And I'm thinking, that's not a mistake.
And like, the white kid goes, "No! He's my frog!
He's our frog, yeah."
And then they have a
It's
war
like,
of northern aggression.
Where he brings in the spirit of Swiss Family Robinson, where you subjugate all the animals you can catch and
it's
find.
It's my frog!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I found it.
So, but they decided, well, we're going to go back and drop this frog off. And he says, "Here, hop on this horse." And he hands him a stick. And he says, "We can make better time this way. And we're going to go ride the horse."
Right.
And he rides the horse and says, "Yeah, let's go. I'll beat you." And I remember thinking,
wow.
Just for a moment, cracking up, going, "I want to capture that little soundbite. I'll beat you."
I bet you will, little Johnny.
But it was
goodness.
But, man, there was, like, emotion in this movie that, like, spoke to me strong, like, really, really strong. There's a whole thing where they kind of like tell Remus not to tell him any more stories, and the kid loves the stories and lives for the stories.
Mm.
And Uncle Remus is like being a good house Negro, you know, and okay, ma'am, you know, all right, you know, but at the same time he wants to do it, and he ends up telling them a story anyway, and then the mother tells him he can't see them anymore, and he leaves, and the kid freaks out. And wants to go catch him and gets almost killed by a bull that they have to watch out for earlier in the movie. And it's a whole bunch of stuff it's well done. Like it's well done for that time.
Yeah, I did a watch with new eyes. Cause when I watched it, I was like 15, I think.
Ooh.
You should watch it now,
ripe
for sure.
With teenage angst and
anger.
Right. Yeah.
I was furious.
Oh, dude. In the
20s? I was ready to dress in all black and burn the motherfucker down when I saw that.
Dude, let me tell you about Forrest Gump in my 20s. Let me tell you about that.
Yeah.
You should watch it again just because
I will. I'll give another shot.
It's definitely fascinating. So the little kid, there's a little girl too. And the little girl gives him a puppy because her mean brothers, and they're kind of white trashy kind of family brothers,
mm-hmm.
Are going to drown the puppy, for fuck's sake.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so she's like, no, and she gives it to the main kid. And the kid takes it home. They won't let him keep it. So he talks Uncle Remus into keeping the dog. And so the dog doesn't die, doesn't get killed.
So where does Zippity-Doo-Dah come into play?
The beginning, like, when you meet Uncle Remus,
like everything's great.
They show up to the plantation, and he's just like, mm-hmm.
"We're in reconstruction."
Well, he's telling a story, and like, I mean, it's like his first story to Johnny.
Cartoons in that song,
yeah, and that's the first bit of cartoons. That's the first,
and when it jumps into cartoon, I mean, I remember vividly that scene. Like, that was the only thing that really impressed me as a child. Was like, oh my gosh, he just like jumped into a cartoon and everything became vibrant and colorful and
that stuck out
amazing. And
that's exactly what it was like in Reconstruction era. And he jumped into fucking cartoons and shit. Singing songs.
Yep.
It's a wonderful day.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Still is.
But so there's the little boy and the little girl who gives him the dog.
Jenny, I think her name was, maybe.
Yeah. Her brothers are still real mean to them. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where they're walking to a party and the little bratty boys come up on them and start fighting and push her into the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts crying. And I remember being 6 or 7 years old and watching this and being very emotionally invested,
mm-hmm.
because at that time, this was my little girlfriend.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I remember at that time. And her crying was like, it just, that's, you know, when you're a baby, that's all you know, yeah. is like crying or not crying. Yeah. And so like, you're just, it tapped into that like real basic, like mm-hmm. primal thing. And the kid fights. It's just like Christmas Story.
Oh yeah,
where he snaps on the kid.
Uh-huh.
He snaps on the kid, and he's grabbing his hair. Did you just notice that? They're like, he's like banging his head on the ground, and like,
holy shit.
Yeah, it's a lot like Ralphie losing his shit in Christmas Story, but man, I was seriously in an emotional whirlwind watching this tonight in the kitchen, because it was just brought back like, oh, I remember that,
right?
And I remember like feeling bad for that girl, and I remember being mad at those boys and the whole thing, and yeah, good stuff. And then being super sad, and he gets hit by the bull. You're just like, what the fuck? No way! Oh my god, he just got hit by the bull.
Huh?
It's good stuff.
No, yeah.
It's, I mean, it's like, it's so worth watching. Like, I honestly, I can't wait to watch it again.
Huh? All right.
Yeah.
On that note, let's take a quick commercial break.
I wonder what the commercial break is.
I already know. We all know. We all know what this is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sir, honey, it happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song jump right out of it. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity yay. My, oh, my. What a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling. Wonderful day. Yes, sir. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day.
Oh, plenty of sunshine in the way. Zippity-doo-dah,
zippity-yay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth,
mm-hmm.
It's actual,
mm-hmm.
Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling, feeling this way. Zoom, 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 zoom. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It is the truth. It's actual. Huh? Why is that bluebird? Mm-hmm. Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Howdy, killer. How do you do?
Oh, hello there, Brer Rabbit.
Hi, Brer Rabbit.
Yes, sir. This here's one of them zippity-doo-dah days for sure. Zip, 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 zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay.
My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine in my way.
Is the truth.
satisfaction. Everything is satisfaction.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine, live my way.
I watched Creed 2.
Oh,
which I
oh really?
Yeah. It was good.
I have not seen Creed.
I think
let
I saw
alone
Creed
2.
Creed is
I heard Creed's real good. Yeah.
And Creed 2 is I talked to a couple people about this actually since between watching it and coming here. And a couple of them, I was in the barbershop. And a couple of those guys liked 2 better than the first one. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I was definitely more invested at the end of 2, like in the fight. Uh-huh. I was like, and not like I wasn't into the movie the first time because I was, but I had like visceral reactions to the fight at the end of the second movie, which is what you want in a movie like this.
Heck yeah.
The fight wasn't as well choreographed and shot because like Ryan Coogler is not directing the second one. It's somebody
right.
else. So it's not that like beautiful like single shot motion going on, but it was still good. Like I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Right on.
Did it need to exist? Probably not.
Same director? No.
No, different director.
Because is Stallone in it?
Yeah, and he's good in this.
He's always been good.
Dolph Lundgren's in it too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is he found a new level of humanity? Like he's got depth to him because he's pretty one dimensional.
Yes.
In the old ones.
Lots. Yes. Because the whole thing is his son wants
fight
a shot
Apollo.
At the
yeah. Now that's the second one. Well, who's the first one? The first Creed?
Apollo Creed?
No, I mean the first movie. Like, who does he fight? Like, what?
I don't remember.
Okay,
it's been too long since I've seen it.
But
nobody
two is
from
the
like
one.
Nobody okay. related to the previous.
So
movie.
Creed 2 is the one where
Drogo's okay. kid
yes.
wants to fight Apollo's kid
yes.
for the title
yes.
After and he knows that he killed his dad, right?
Yes.
You killed my father.
Yeah, like he literally watches the footage of it at one point in the movie. Yeah,
Apollo does, or the Russian kid?
Adonis is his name.
Okay,
Adonis Creed or Donnie, as they call him.
Sure.
Yeah, he watches it. It's it pulls the heartstrings real hard. This movie, it does. It's good though. I enjoyed it.
Those Rocky movies, man.
And really,
they're all good.
The big takeaway, I'm just like, I need to work out. It's like Michael B. Jordan looks fucking swole in
yeah.
this movie.
Dude.
It is insane.
I was going to say, man.
I'm like, brother, you're looking good. Oh.
He's Killbot.
Hit the gym. He looks
ridiculous.
I got to hit the gym.
Not Killbot.
Killmonger.
Killmonger.
Killmonger. Yeah. When he's Killmonger.
Yeah, he's cut.
For real.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch The Wire and see him as a skinny little kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Yeah, he's a skinny young kid.
Because,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for
good
sure.
for you, man. Like, I don't know how hard that is to maintain.
He's a grown ass man.
Yeah,
he's a grown ass man. In the other ones,
she actually, Felicia Rashad calls him that in this movie. You're a grown ass man. You can make your own decisions.
Yes, you are.
Decide what you're gonna do for yourself, not for anybody else.
Nice.
Yeah, good. All the good like messages that you'd expect from like a Rocky film. Like, what's
right
the
on.
Reason for you to do the things that you do, and
right on.
Like what's important to you and stuff like that. It's good.
It's good. Keep at it.
Yeah, I wanted to see both those movies.
You still can.
Do you watch
they
some?
Are both on Amazon.
Ooh.
Oh,
Prime.
That's good to know.
Even.
Sweet.
If you have Prime, yeah.
Sweet.
Actually, oh, I don't know if the first one still is.
I hate when I search for something.
The second
Amazon
one definitely is. Though. That's where I watched it.
And I'm like, ooh. And then it doesn't have the little
$4.99.
Prime.
Right,
I'm like, $3.99. Son of a bitch. It's like, yeah, it shouldn't be there. Like, I'm on the streaming service.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not.
Don't show me what I can buy.
Right.
Show me what I can watch.
I'm on the streaming service. Show me what's
streaming. Could
you imagine
Netflix? And you're like flipping through there.
Everything.
Oh,
yeah,
they got this for $4.99. What the fuck?
Yeah, HBO, you see what's there, and they have what's there.
Yeah.
I understand Amazon's trying to – remember Amazon was a book website?
I remember. Yeah. I bought – one of the first things I bought from Amazon was a fucking book.
That's all they sold.
That was all it was sold. Yeah.
They were a book company.
What book was that?
Just like Walmart.
I think
was
it was for school.
Walmart was a sewing store, like thread and yarn and stuff. Yes.
I bought a copy of Hamlet. That's what I bought. That was the first thing.
That's
I
your first book?
Yeah.
Walmart used to only sell like threads and fabrics and stuff.
Interesting.
And then they turned into Walmart. And Amazon used to be a book website.
You're
crazy.
Rich saying he lost his Shakespeare. It's like it's not like I didn't read it. Like I lost it.
I lost it.
Yeah,
right. It was stolen.
I was gonna read that book. But you know,
it's
stolen.
Now it's on eBay. I don't know.
I've been back and forth through Hamlet more times I can count. I also watched Jenny Slate has a new stand up on Netflix, and she was, for those of you who don't know, she was Mona Lisa on Parks and Rec, one of like the best side characters, which is what I love about Michael Schur shows, is that they're like secondary characters are all great and watchable and entertaining and super fun.
Yes.
So she has a stand-up special on Netflix, and I didn't love it. This is weird. Watching it made me like her more as a person, less than it did make me think she's like funny. And she was, like, she was funny. But the special, like, it's intercut with like live footage of her like in her childhood home talking to her parents and like being funny like with her sisters and like stuff like that. And I found that stuff way more entertaining and endearing than I found her actual stand-up funny. And some of the jokes were like like actual laugh out loud funny, but the other stuff is way more worth the watch than her actual standing up and telling jokes.
She'll always be the F-bomb girl from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Like that was her big thing. Yeah. But she's funny. I've seen her in several things.
Yeah, I know. She's
several entertaining
super funny,
things.
But
she's
just in this particular special I was like way more into like all the like here's my personal like
make
life
a
stuff.
Documentary and, instead of a stand-up special.
Yeah, I mean like, it's that's what it looked like. Like she wanted to do both and couldn't really decide.
Right.
And just did both together.
That's cool.
I love
yourself.
I've always loved the little vignettes in stand-up specials though.
Yeah.
Like it's always one of the best parts.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether it's like Chappelle, like on the streets, like I'm gonna go get a piece of pizza, and you just follow him and get a piece of pizza, and you're like, that was better than the joke.
That's better than the joke.
Exactly. I'd watch this for an hour.
There's like there's one part with like her trying on. I think it was like her grandmother's dresses because she was used to be in theater like way back in the day, and she kept like literally every costume she wore or something. So she's just like trying on the dresses and playing with them, and her grandma's there, and it's like it's just endearing and real.
I know. That's cool.
Like, oh, that's cool. It cuts back to her like telling a joke. I'm like, no, that wasn't that funny.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
More of the other, please.
Yeah, more of that, please. That's what I watch.
We're watching Castle Rock season 2.
Right on. Ooh. You watched season 1?
Yes.
You liked it?
Yes. We were disappointed in the fact that it wasn't as Stephen King-y as we had hoped based on the advertisements for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've stepped it up a notch. In the fact that you're following Annie Wilkes, if you know anything about Stephen King.
Who's that?
Kathy Bates from Misery is Annie Wilkes.
So pre-Misery?
I guess.
Miserable.
Like pre-kidnap her favorite writer and break his ankle. Yeah.
Oh, she dies. Doesn't she? I forget.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I remember enjoying that movie, though. Remember?
It was
a
good movie.
But, it's more in the universe as far as that, because this is an actual character that we've seen before.
Right.
Where in the other one, I was like, nope, nope, nope. And the first season, they got Sissy Spacek to be in it, and she was Carrie, which is Stephen King. Sorry.
Oh, really? She played Carrie?
Uh-huh. That's and awesome. Then in this, Tim Robbins is in it, who is famous for Shawshank, which
Andy
is also Dufresne. Stephen King's story.
Does he play any? No, he can't play Andy Dufresne.
Nope, doesn't play Andy Dufresne. Plays, but
boo.
But again, well, he's in.
Well, I guess not.
But like they get the King universe actors, and plug them in the show, which I think is
that's
really cool.
Neat.
That's cool.
That's cool.
It's like a little nod to be like, oh, you were in the thing with the thing. Cool. So far I like it better than season 1.
And is that one that
because
is...
it's more grounded? It's not as like sci-fi-y yet. Not that there's anything wrong with sci-fi stuff, But the whole first one, you're like, who's this kid? And like, why do I care? It's time travel. What's that? What the fuck? You're confused the whole time. Mm. Whereas season two, it's pretty much straightforward.
But then in the end, it all makes sense.
Right.
Is it kind of? Is the whole season loaded or is it a week at a time?
Week at a time. It's on Hulu. So it's episodic. We also watched more Good Place. I'm all caught up on that. Saw the Chidi episode, which is awesome.
I'm not all caught up on that. Maybe watch some of that tonight.
Man, that show, that episode. Options. Good God. At the end of that last episode, I was like, huh. Like
a Good Place?
Yes.
Dude, it does that. Like it'll
got
do that.
Some legit, like, and Samantha was like, what?
It'll sneak on
and
you,
I was
too.
Like, that didn't. Yeah. And I looked over at her and she's like, yeah, I got me too. And I was like, Jesus. It's like the cutest thing.
Yeah, there's
it's like the cutest thing since, like, you know, a Jim and Pam moment on The Office or whatever. Like, where, again, Michael Schur knows what he's doing when he's running a show, and he just builds characters so well. Yep. And it's just.
He has a knack for having the emotional stuff sneak up on you.
Golden.
Like all of a sudden he's like.
Touch.
He does it. And then all of a sudden he just like. All of a, you're invested majorly in it. Even though it's a light comedy.
Yes.
And then they do a scene. And then you're like, fuck.
I'm like.
That was so good.
Halfway through Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now. And they just did the episode where Terry Crews gets like stopped by a white cop in his own neighborhood.
Oh,
and
really?
This show's supposed to be funny.
Like, yes. What is this? Interesting.
And it's like, it has like Andy Samberg and I forget that, Melissa Fumero. So Jake and Amy are watching his daughters and they keep asking him like it was daddy stopped because he was black. And they're trying to like not be the ones to have to answer that question. But then they do and they do it super well. I'm like, man, this show's like on top of its shit. Like,
nice, dude.
They know how to handle like the tough things and handle them well.
That makes me happy. Cool. I'm looking forward to watching that. So, you know,
yeah, are you good. Caught up on Good Place?
No, not quite. Mm. And I'm not caught up on. But that was.
You guys made me watch this show, and now I'm the one that's in front of it. Ahead, when the fuck does that ever happen?
Busy going to the theater to watch indie fucking movies, Jared. Right,
and I'm watching a lot of HBO.
I'm the guy that doesn't watch anything, and I'm the one caught up on something.
Yeah. Dude, you got you should.
We watch a few episodes of something new, and then we put Scrubs on and fall asleep. That's how. That's what's going on right now. That's
I like
it.
I think you should have something, something that you're watching that none of us.
Yeah, I watch Castle Rock too. Yeah.
That's good. Oh, no, I like that. So.
But that last episode, man, woof, it was good.
Right on. I look forward to it.
It's like the cutest thing that ever happened on TV.
I was trying to think of like the.
There's a lot of heart in that show.
The scenes from Good Place in the past that were all of a sudden you're like, oh fuck, and you find yourself getting weepy. Yeah. like
when you realize Janet has feelings, you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm. There's a hand. Yeah, just and
okay. I audibly said at the end of this episode, aw. Like nah. Out loud, and I was like, "What? Wait, what?"
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, offhand, the only thing I could think of is the Janet episode where everyone's played by Janet.
Oh, yeah,
and she's trying to talk her back into. He's trying to talk her
right
back into her head,
right?
Essentially, and that was so moving. It was so well done, and they have a handful of those that are just, ugh,
no.
You fucker. When something's so good, where you're just like. Damn you.
Ah, fuck you.
Damn you. You go. Oh, you're so good, you.
Yeah.
Right on.
I think that's basically all we've been watching.
Y'all need to watch Watchmen.
Who's watching The Watchmen? BJ is.
I'm watching The Watchmen. I'm the one who watches The Watchmen.
He's the one who watches The Watchmen.
Biz is watching it, too. But.
Yeah.
How far along is that now?
6 episodes.
Oh,
shit.
Wow.
And there's
almost
9
over.
Altogether.
Oh, shit.
So,
okay, I got on
for some reason, I was like, it's only on week 2. I can catch up. It's like, nope. It's like over already. Oh,
and
shit.
And this last episode.
Same thing, Silicon Valley's probably that far along, too.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Me.
Yep. And that one flies faster because it's only a half hour. But,
yeah.
But, and I'm watching both of those.
Okay.
And I'm watching Mrs. Fletcher, too, which I mentioned before. And the character that I was saying that was so unlikable is still unlikable.
But
he's starting to kind of like be taught lessons, and like he's been almost the entire time ever since you realize he's an asshole.
Right.
He's learning lessons from everybody around him.
Are you?
And it
him?
Turns out that his dad's not a great guy, and so he's kind of learning stuff about life.
Are you on his Dark Materials as well?
I have not started that yet.
No,
but this guy is.
Mikey,
Mikey is. These guys are.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
Oh yeah, because you like the books, right?
Yeah. I'm not caught up.
Oh,
you're caught up?
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Good stuff.
Can
I'm sure it's good. Yeah, no, go ahead.
It's good. Just episode 4, watch it as soon as possible.
Okay, see, I don't know how you guys like structure your TV viewing, but because Lindsay and I are watching, we watch new things together. If it's new, we watch it together. Like, that's the rule.
Right.
And when it's an hour-long show, like, we really only do one of those a night anymore because now we're old. Like, when we were first dating, we binged Breaking Bad, and we'd watch, like, four episodes, Jared, and stay up too late and be like, oh, crap, we have to go to bed. Can't do that anymore.
Right.
Can't do it anymore. Yeah. So now it's one episode of something like, you know, His Dark Materials and soon to be Watchmen, and then maybe one or two episodes of something else that we're not, like, we're not caught up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but those are only half hour. So if we want to just watch one and stop, we can do that. But then by then, we're like, we're not going to go to bed yet, but one of us is going to fall asleep on this next thing. So it has to be something that's not important. So we put on like Scrubs or something else.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
That's the jam.
I like it when I can actually prepare to go to bed instead of like wake up to go to bed.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, I prefer that. I just never do it.
I am the enforcer of that rule. Samantha will fall asleep on the couch. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, Samantha, what? You should go to bed. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm like, no, you should really, you're going to want to go to bed. And then, sure enough, 30 minutes later, I'm like, shake. She's like, contacts are falling out of her face. Her eyes are all dry. Like,
You got to take the contacts off.
You should have gone to bed. Yeah. She just falls asleep.
I don't do that anymore.
I do that. I'm with you, Samantha. I do that a lot.
I make sure those are, once dinner is happening, because we're going to get on the couch, we're going to start watching stuff, the contacts are coming out, the glasses are going on. Yep. If I'm wearing them, anyway.
That's right.
Because I know there will come a time where I get a little sleepy. And even if for like 20 minutes I fall asleep, like, it's not comfortable. Like,
yeah,
it's not good.
It's garbage.
You got to take those suckers out.
Or she'll get up to go get ready for bed, and then I'll find her asleep on the bed, snuggling with Trevor or something. And I'm like, you're supposed to be.
Jeez.
Shake. What? You're taking your nap before bedtime. I know. She calls it her nap before bed. It basically happens every day.
But I always feel like if I'm inspired to fall asleep, just let me go to sleep. Like, let me. I'm going to go to sleep for a little while. I'll wake up and go to bed. But just for now.
But you're going to hate it. You're going to hate that wake up to go to bed.
I don't hate that much.
I'm already too tired to, like, enjoy
a
preparation of going to bed, of brushing my teeth and, like, you know, and turning off the lights and making sure everything's ready and getting all comfortable. It's too late for that anyway.
I can still do all that, still kind of like a zombie, because when you wake up from the couch, you're like, I don't want to wake up fully because then you're awake.
Right.
So I'm just like, I can do everything that I need to do before I go to bed, like in zombie mode, and still like not wake up and then go to bed.
I inevitably wake up, but then I watch.
Not every night, but
put
sometimes.
The iPad on, and like I could stream TV on it, and I'll usually stream like South Park. And just
that's when I do my fantasy football research. Actually, it's like, what's that last
front last
fantasy,
little bit?
Oh shit! I gotta set my
which would explain how much points I've scored this season.
I gotta set.
That's not true. I'm like, I'm a lock for the playoffs in one league, and I'm like on the cusp of the playoffs in our league.
I'm out of it in all,
and
three.
I'm way out of it in the league that I'm the commissioner.
All three.
I'm in the playoffs right now, but I just have to maintain for the next 2 weeks. I just have to stay in position.
In one of my, I'm going to find out the actual number. 2 seconds. But anyway, so I sleep with an eye mask on.
Oh,
and
those are good.
And if it's a day off the next day, I'll put earplugs in as well because I'm like, time to be dead to the world.
Sure,
and. Samantha, right now, especially because she's pregnant, wakes up constantly and sometimes can't fall back asleep. And I'll find her in the living room on the couch, like uncomfortably watching TV or something.
Right.
And I'm like, we have
TV. You have
a TV
in the bedroom?
In here that has like an Xbox, so you can stream whatever.
And she's not gonna wake you up because.
And
you're...
I'm like, and I would, and I've told her a bazillion times. It's like, I like noise. Like, if I have my earplugs in. Whatever, that's so I don't wake up, like, if the dogs bark. Yeah. But, like, I like ambient noise or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have an eye mask on. The light isn't going to bother me. And if you turn on sound, I'm just going to be like, and it's going to lull me into a deeper sleep.
Yeah.
And she refused. She will not turn on the TV when
just
I was
turn
saying,
on for
because she says, I don't want to wake you up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I've told you 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. Mm. Like, the way that people
That's why I like the iPad because I can put earplugs in. And then I don't have to wake
up. Can I just say I'm such an Apple fanboy? When you said eye mask, I'm thinking, did Apple come out with a new? Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I can watch your streaming videos right on your face.
You're about to text your Apple guy. What the fuck, dude? Todd, you said this eye mask wasn't out for until 2021.
So in this league, I am 3-9, and I presently have an 8-game losing streak.
Wow.
Oh.
3-9.
You thought you were doing pretty good.
And, yeah, I was.
In our league?
I was.
Or no, the other
no,
league.
No,
league.
It's not that bad.
Casey and Biz and them.
Good Lord,
8-game losing streak.
What happened?
I don't know. I have the highest points against.
Oh,
that's part of the problem.
Oh.
So even when my team kicks ass, I lose.
Yeah,
that
and,
sucks.
Yeah, that's a problem. Anyway, no one cares about my personal fantasy football.
I can.
I watch.
I find it highly entertaining.
I watch those games, anecdotes. Dude.
That's a lot.
And I'm just like, oh. Man, and this is the league where we have like the shitty punishment for the loser, and I'm gonna.
Oh no!
It's gonna be you.
Gonna lose.
It's gonna be awesome.
Gonna
what's the punishment?
Bad.
What is it?
We have the trophy called the Blumpkin Cream Pie.
Oh, gross!
And the trophy is a toilet that's like covered in hot glue.
Yeah,
looks unappetizing. And then the. Every team in the draft order gets to name your team for that week.
Yeah.
And so it's always something unpleasant.
I've stolen that from my league, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, that's brilliant. I'm like, oh, I knew. I thought of it all
thing.
On my own. I did not say that.
And so, yeah.
I steal from people. I say, no, I stole it from my friend.
It's going to be bad.
See, Brer Rabbit will try to convince you that it's your own idea.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't throw me in that briar patch.
Oh, man.
Because you could put me over the Spitfire, but don't throw me in that briar patch, please.
Yeah. So yeah,
let's throw him in the briar patch.
When it's my turn to name teams, I don't hold back at all, and I usually make some horrific graphic on Photoshop for them to make as their logo.
Yeah.
So
oh,
if,
the logo too.
If I lose,
have to include that.
I'm in for some shit. It's gonna be payback time.
It's possible I'll be that in that position in the league I introduced that to as well.
And I've been in what is known as the Blumpkin Bowl twice, and I've beat the person both times. So I
barely
finished in ninth.
Yeah.
Right, I finished ninth instead of tenth.
That's great.
But this year, it's not looking good. I'm 8-8. Every time I'm like, ooh, I got this one. Nope, 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 nope,
jeez.
Nope. When you first start the draft in the ninth pick and your pick is Juju Smith-Schuster and then coming around to the second pick is Odell Beckham Jr., then you're fucked for the season, let me just tell you, because those guys are garbage.
Should have reached for Lamar Jackson.
God.
Nobody knew.
I got him in one of my
people
other
knew. I knew.
I got
mean, like,
you knew.
Well, there was a little thing like before the season that was like, who's gonna do more than Mahomes this year? And it was like Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, who? I wonder who's not reading this. Nobody.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's
yeah.
not reading this.
No.
Is what my thought was.
I got him in one of my leagues, but again, that draft I start. It was our league, or no, the one with Samantha.
Yeah.
But like, I started the draft with like Tyreek Hill and like another wide receiver. I went wide receiver, and then week one, Tyreek Hill blows out his knee, and I'm like, well, there goes my number one pick, and
yeah.
I just haven't regained strength since then. Even with Lamar Jackson,
yeah.
he scores me 40 points a week, and I just can't. So we gotta win.
There's a team in the league that I commission that has Lamar Jackson and Christian McCaffrey.
Ouch.
You can guess
yeah.
where they are right now.
Ouch.
It's just winning, beating everybody.
Yeah.
I've got Antonio Bryant. And,
nice. Still?
Brown, excuse me. Yeah, Brown.
Yeah. Good times.
I did watch one more movie that I actually stuck in the
disc.
Put in disc?
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh, look at you.
Dr. Strangelove, which was sitting in my thing forever.
Something else.
Yeah, it's a
what's
great
the song?
Movie.
What's the song they play?
No,
they play. What do you mean they play? We'll be again.
No.
What do you mean?
I can't. Never.
When they're dropping the bomb,
my mind's blank.
When they're dropping the bomb, they play. We'll meet again.
Oh really?
It's
we'll
not like.
We'll meet again.
I thought it was like some.
Do you think it was Ride of the Valkyries?
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not. Do they parody
they might,
that? In
they
some
might
something?
Do that, like when they're just showing the jets flying.
Got it.
But.
So it is in that movie.
It may be.
I don't know.
It might be.
It's got to be a parody.
It might
be. Something I'm thinking.
But
of, yeah.
Peter Sellers is magnificent, and he plays three different parts in the movie, and there's so many different parts of this movie. Like one monologue from the scene was my. Audition monologue for a while. And so there's scenes that are just iconic. George C. Scott, who famously played Patton, plays another general in this who's a little bit off the rails. No, he's
just
definitely
do that
more,
thing again.
Do that.
I don't. That's a good question. If it was before his famous role of Patton, I don't know what year that was.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I think it was before it. But man, it's still a good movie, and it's realistic. I don't know, kind of realistic.
Sure,
it's inspiring. The amount of classics that you watch.
Right on. You thinking of like, because I've been watching these Disney movies?
Well, I mean that, and yeah. But you like, out of everyone at the table, you're like, I watched Dr. Strangelove. It's like, yeah. I never in a million years would be like, you know what I want to watch today? And just pick, and you picked it up and put it in. Like, because you're like, I want to watch that.
I've watched it 10, 15 times.
Easily. But it's like, I mean, own them, first of all.
Right.
Like, I don't own any classics.
Mm-mm.
Like, I think I might own Gone with the Wind. Maybe. I maybe own Casablanca somewhere. Maybe. But, like, that's about it.
I'm not watching them.
But like, like, that's it.
I own modern classics.
And
like
so.
What do you consider?
Like I bought Lost in Translation and Her to watch as a double feature.
That's good.
Those are good combo. Those are good.
But it's like,
and well, I'll do that. I'll try and do that before the next time we record. So I can
you know, when we were in college, it was like a thing. It was like a thing to kind of. It's so funny to be like into Stanley Kubrick, like as a. I don't know if it was. I think it's just an artsy thing. Like we were in theater, but like. This is a thing. It was a cool thing if you were like into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you like watch Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange is the shit.
2001. Yeah.
Right, 2001. 2001 Dr. Strangelove.
I can't do that for you, Hal.
Sorry, Hal.
I'm sorry.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal, please.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
That movie's dope.
I said Hal.
That movie's so dope. I like when he breaks in. Okay,
yeah,
Hal.
I saved you.
Let's talk about this. Come on, Hal.
I'm sorry, you're
being very unreasonable now. But anyway.
And he becomes a star child.
Good stuff.
It's dope that you watch this.
Thanks.
It literally is inspiring. I'm like, man, I should watch more of that shit.
You should.
But like, it's.
I mean, every now and then you should. I mean,
of course.
And that's what. Oh, God, sometimes it's like these things are awesome. Like, sometimes you put one of these things on and it just. Not speak to you, and you're like, this is not the time to watch this.
Right.
And
I watched the old Manchurian Candidate after I watched the new one.
I love that movie, dude, so much.
I wouldn't say they're very different. They're different in a lot of ways, but it still captures sort of the same, like,
yeah,
the same sort of feeling of powerlessness and helplessness and inexorably moving towards something that you can't control. That's cool. It's a cool.
Yeah,
cool flick,
it's good. It's good. Yeah.
I know a lot of people say, I can't get past like the old acting styles. I'm like, yeah. But like they're really good movies.
I love that shit.
The really good movies hold up either way. You know?
Right. Yeah, even if it's a different style, you kind of find I think that's what it is sometimes. You can't shift into that zone of where you're accepting whatever's happening on screen where I needed to be more modern.
Spend disbelief.
It's the best way to watch a play without being able to watch a play is to watch a classic movie. Because they're fucking plays.
Or just watch 12 Angry Men.
But it's like...
and
it's,
do both.
Like, they're just shot. Like, here's a scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cuts. There's no shit. It's just like, here's two guys talking in a room.
Yeah.
And you're going to watch that. And then until it's going to slow fade into another scene of people talking in a room.
Yep.
And it's like, that's dope. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do it enough.
Yep. You should put Dr. Strangelove on your list. Just as a... As a class of watching Peter Sellers play these three parts in it, and they're all – he plays the president, he plays Dr. Strangelove, and he plays the general who's – now, this whole show, by the way, is a exact same story of another classic movie called Failsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is a great movie with Henry Fonda as the president. Where in that movie, if you've ever seen it there's someone who takes it upon themselves to attack Russia with nuclear weapons, and so they're trying to, with the idea that if they don't get caught, the only option that U.S. will have is to
keep firing.
To double down on it, right, and attack
keep
on them.
Keep firing, asshole.
But what the president decides to do is contact the leader of Russia and tell them exactly what's happening and help them shoot them down.
Right.
And that's the whole story of the whole thing. And Failsafe is fucking dark. I mean, they're both really dark. They're nuclear annihilation dark. Yes. But he makes a deal with the Russian guy. It's so good. It's so good that, like, he is going to send one of his main cohorts to fly over New York and wait for his signal. And when he gets his signal, he's going to drop a nuclear bomb on New York. And he's going to do this because he wasn't able to catch the nuclear bomb
over there.
And that was the only way to prevent the entire destruction of the Earth through a nuclear holocaust.
We owe you one.
Was like, right, we're going to blow up. And it included his wife. His wife happened to be in New York at the time. It's a dope ass movie with huge consequences that, you don't see that. Now it's the same consequences in this one, but it's considerably lighter.
Yes,
right.
But it's a dark comedy. But man, is it good! They're both fantastic. So, huh. And the theme is good, and doesn't go away until we're past the nuclear threshold, which either ends with either us figuring peace out, or it ends with our destruction.
Kablamo.
That's the only two options there. So, which is another reason why the whole Watchmen storyline is really fascinating too. It's because it's kind of along the same lines where, like, we're gonna do this thing, and you guys got to watch Watchmen. You got to watch it.
I will. Anything else?
Nope.
That's it, baby.
Mikey P. recommends
The World According to Jeff Goldblum on Disney Plus.
I have not watched it yet.
All right.
But I got no. Is it?
I'm nope. Just
kidding. You caught me with that one. You give me every time. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, I'm curious to know what you're
going to
say.
Like, is anyone going to stop me?
I will always stop you.
Dang it.
That was a good one.
Huh? What are you saying? Sweet. Well, thanks everyone out there for listening. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and we will see you next time.
Damn it!
What?
It's okay. It's like we're getting out of the garage.
What?
But take this opportunity to give thanks, everybody. Yes. I wanted to like, oh, it's Thanksgiving episode, closest one.
Yeah.
So you should give thanks. You should give thanks. You should tell us what you're thankful for.
Me?
Yeah.
Right now? I'm thankful for full-time regular status as a postal carrier, which means I get my days off, which means I get to spend more time with my family and friends. And I'm thankful that my wife is carrying a healthy baby boy
That's two big things.
Those are huge.
Life is good.
Yes.
Right on.
Indeed.
Cool. Just you.
No, no one else.
Nobody else.
Okay, good.
I'll go. I am thankful for my health, and I am thankful. I wouldn't say wealth, but doing good.
Yeah,
things are good.
That's dope.
Yeah,
love it, Mikey B.
Thankful for family and friends, just thankful to be alive.
Yep.
Me too.
That's dope.
I'm thankful for my lovely wife to be, and as we're starting to make wedding plans, which is kind of surprisingly a little kind of fun.
Fun, right?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Fun.
And I'm going to say you're thankful for a new hip.
And a new hip, for sure.
Yeah.
Thankful
yeah.
for medicine.
Yeah.
I got endless things to be thankful for.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we do.
And we can sit there and harp on the bad shit, but guess what?
Nope.
No.
Give thanks.
Harp.
What is
that?
I don't know.
Like
made it up just now.
I like it. I like it.
Likes it.
Let us know what you're thankful for out there.
Yeah.
Send us a voicemail or an email
and
or
this week,
a text on
or some candy
Facebook
corn.
Or something.
Yeah, and this week, I say for sure, but we said this before.
Yes.
We're going to be on TV this
True
week.
Story. At least 1:30 in the weird time slot.
Someone else read it up, and it said 4:30, 1:30 a.m.
Oh, what the hell?
So check your local
Just look for the band pals.
Band pals.
I'm waiting to hear from
buddies.
The producers. I don't believe a single lick of it until I hear from the producers.
I never heard from the producers. So.
heard from what?
Right. Oh, you know. you weren't there.
Oh, good for you.
Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. And this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.